When are we gonna understand that we are put on earth to love, to love, to love, to love?
Which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. I hope everyone is in good spirits. Okay, let's get a Lord his praise. All right, so we're going to go to Colossians 3:11 to show that Christ is all and in all, which would also tie in with I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, when Christ said that. Also, Christ being all and in all, meaning that all the things that he created, when you go back to Genesis, when he created this planet Earth, it was made in the likeness of spiritual things, of heavenly things, so that when people are being communed or communicated to by the Spirit, they can look at the things and the surroundings around them to see the stamp of God that made it in everything that he did, all of his walk. You can see it in the analogies through the birds and the bees, through the trees, through man, through animals, through the sea creatures, right? He has his stamp on everything, so that it would be without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is all and in all, that he is God, right? All right, so now let's go to Colossians 3:11.
Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
So what that really means, that nothing matters. Nothing matters no more when it comes to the wisdom of this world, right? When you're walking in faith, right? And the scripture says, walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? Walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning that you're not walking according to your fleshly eyes. Now you're walking according to your spiritual eyes, right? As you learn and become more and more like Christ, right? And being transformed into his image. So nothing matters. All the thing that you've learned since you was a child in these institutions in this world, as you're being transformed into the image of God, into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh as God in the flesh, right? Nothing matters now, because now you're being moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So read that in the NLT, verse 11.
In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us.
Christ is all that matters. Nothing else matters anymore. But this is the point where you have to come to be transformed into his image, right? This is the point that you have to come to be able to inherit the heavenly kingdom. A lot of people don't really understand that part of you has to die for you to really inherit life, right? This life that we live is not Christ. This is not the truth. This is not the way. This is not the life. Death, as I always say, has an expiration date. Life, okay, according to God, is eternal. So now we have been duped or tricked some kind of way in a lot of the aspects or the lies that have been perpetrated, all right, in this world, right? That we have been really duped, right? And we understand how this happened, right? Which in the understanding and reading of the scriptures, God planned everything. Everything was pre-planned and predestined, right, in advance. Just like Satan was created, all right? When you go to the book of Isaiah 45:7, let's just jump over there real quick. to show you that God is in control of even the spiritual demon Satan, right? Read that real quick, Isaiah 45 and 7.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
As we know that the Lord can't do evil. So he created something that would play that opposition, all right, for the learning of the elect, for the elect's sake, for the learning, for us to learn from the oppositions of life, right? Also go to Job 12 and 16 and read that one.
Job 12, verse 16. With him is strength and wisdom.
That's talking about the Lord.
The deceived and the deceiver are his.
Okay, the deceived would be people, and a deceiver, which it would be the spiritual demon Satan, right? They both belong to God. Read it in the NLT.
Yes, strength and wisdom are his. Deceivers and deceived are both in his power.
All right. So now let's go back, all right, and proving that Christ, all right, is the shadow of the heavenly things to come. So in other words, what we're going to do is we're going to go back into the Old Testament and bring out all of the high holy days that was instituted, okay, by God through Moses to the children of Israel, which the children of Israel was an example for the world to follow, right? The Lord used Israel as an example. That's why we find that Israel fell short of the glory of God. Just like the rest of the world that were called the Gentiles, they fell short of the glory of God because they weren't even given the laws. Israel was given the laws and they transgressed and broke the laws. So that's the way they're no different than the Gentiles that did not even receive the laws because they broke the laws. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and read from the 21st verse.
Ephesians 2 verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, now, this building that he's talking about is not talking about a physical building. This is a spiritual building. Read it one more time.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God.
Meaning God is going to inhabit mankind, both Jew and Gentile. Go ahead.
Through the Spirit.
Continue. Okay, so now jump back up to the 11th verse and read it from there.
Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision.
So remember we read in the Colossians 3 and 11 where it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. Right. The circumcision was known as the Jews and the uncircumcision was known as the rest of the world, the known world. All right. The nations in the world other than the Jews were considered Gentiles. Right. So read it again, Joab.
Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand.
So the Jews called the Gentiles the uncircumcised, and the Jews considered themselves the circumcised.
That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
And the Gentiles were without Christ. They didn't have the laws of God. They didn't understand the commonwealth of Israel, which were the laws and the commandments of God.
And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Talking about the other nations, the Gentiles. Continue.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off.
Talking about the Gentiles.
Are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
So through Christ's offering and sacrifice, now the Gentiles are partakers or can be partakers of the body of Christ. So there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Right? Remember, the Jew fell short, the Gentile fell short.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one.
So that means he broke down the hostility, okay, between Jew and Gentile. So now man of all nations can walk together and have a common base, a common ground, which is that spirit of Christ, right? This is how he's going to gather mankind together. So Israel was an example of that in the Old Testament, where they were congregated together, separated or sanctified, set apart from the rest of the world. This is the same thing the Lord is doing with believers opposed to unbelievers. To be separated from the rest of the world, to walk according to God's rules and according to God's commands, which is under the new covenant now.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity.
That's the hostility.
Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances.
He abolished the Old Testament, the laws that used to hold us and had us in bondage, right? You know what it means? That for the laws to have us in bondage, that means that it was like death unto us. If we couldn't keep the law, each and every one of those laws, because the Lord is about perfection, which was impossible for us to do it by human initiative, right? Then we were guilty, right? So the law wasn't bad. It was us that could not keep the law, the imperfection of us and the sinful nature of us, all right, that showed how good the law was and showed how bad that we were. So we needed help. We needed Christ. We needed a spiritual help, a more powerful help.
For to make in himself of twain one new man.
Twain meaning both Jew and Gentile.
So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
So I just wanted to go to show that Israel was an analogy of that. So now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right? And we're going to touch on the Passover, which was one of the most important high holy days in the Bible. And we're going to show you that the Bible calls Christ the Passover, just like they called him the Lamb of God, right? You think that was a coincidence? All right, so let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and start at verse 7.
1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
So when it says purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, when you read about the Passover, and we're going to touch on it a little bit, we're going to go over into the book of Exodus. When the children of Israel left out of Egypt, made the Exodus out of Egypt, they were in such a haste that they didn't have time to put leaven in the bread. They made the bread without yeast. It was called unleavened bread, right? So now that was an analogy, okay? Later on, and we come into the New Testament, Christ used that leaven to show that it was bread that the children of Israel could not eat. On the Passover, High Holy Day, that was a no-no for the children of Israel to eat any bread or have any bread in their household during that 7 days that had leaven in it. They had to have unleavened bread, which the leaven later on showed, as we go to the book of 1 Corinthians 5, and we're going to read verse 8, it showed that that leaven represented malice, that leaven represented evil, which is man's human reasoning, right? Opposed to the unleavened bread, represented the righteousness and the spirit, okay, of Christ, right? So now read verse 8.
Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
So the unleavened bread represented the spirit of Christ, which is that bread of sincerity and truth. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 12. And start at verse 5.
Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
So this is the same thing that happened in the New Testament when Christ was sacrificed. And these things was a copy or a preview of what Christ fulfilled when he was sacrificed. It tells you that the lamb had to be without blemish, which Christ was without sin. All right, spotless. It had to be a male of the first year, and Christ was the first begotten son, the firstborn from the dead, the scripture says. And it says, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, it says, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, which is the Passover day. This is the same high holy day that Christ was sacrificed on, right? Which we're going to read, all right, in the book of Mark. And then it goes on and it says, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. What are you going to kill an animal for? To eat it. So it's the same thing what happens when we are fellowshipping with the words of God. We're eating his word. Christ used it, and he was spiritually profound when he said, eat of my body and drink of my blood, right? And a lot of people didn't understand that parable, and a lot of people didn't understand that metaphor that Christ spoke about when he says, eat of my body and drink of my blood. A lot of his disciples left him at that point, which is in the book of John, the 6th chapter, right? But he was talking about the words of this book. That's his body. That's his blood. You understand? We are saved by the blood. When the scriptures talk about the bread from heaven, which he said, and he told the Pharisees that your fathers didn't eat the bread from heaven, which was the manna, because they ate that and died. He was saying that he was the bread of heaven, right? In that same book of John, the 6th chapter. Jump down to the 15th verse of Exodus 12.
Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel.
Right, right. So this was this thing was marked out, all right, for Christ's coming, right? It was marked out for Christ's coming to show you that the pattern was going to be exactly the same, proving that he is God, right? Or he was God in the flesh, but now he's God in the heavens, sitting in the heavens as the Father, right? Okay, so now let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 15. And start at verse 42.
Mark 15, verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath.
NLT?
This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, as evening approached.
So this was the day before the Sabbath, which was a high Sabbath, because it was the day that the Passover was coming. So just as it says, or just as we read in the book of Exodus 12 and 5, where it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. And it says, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. This is the same day that Christ was prepared or prepped on that cross, okay, before the Passover came, all right? And that's what we're reading here, right? Continue.
Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph had beheld where he was laid.
Go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And read verse 19.
1 Peter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Okay. And now let's go to our Old Testament scripture. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 7.
Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
Who else could that be talking about back there in the Old Testament? Right? Read it again.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
Okay. All right. So now let's go to the book of John 19, back to the New Testament again, and start at verse 14.
John 19, verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar.
Right, so this is why Christ says in the scriptures, he that delivered him have the greatest sin, right? Because his own people, the Jews, his own brothers, delivered him up unto the Romans. Read that in the NLT, verse 15.
Away with him, they yelled. Away with him. Crucify him. What? Crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the leading priest shouted back. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away.
All right. So now we're further proving that Christ is the Passover lamb, right? And that he is the Passover and the unleavened bread, right? The bread from heaven. Go to the book of Revelation 5 and start at verse 6.
Revelation 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
Continue.
And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Right, so that's a future prophecy, right? This is going to be the finale when it says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, right? Read that in the NLT.
Revelation 5, verse 6, NLT. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered.
So there got a lamb.
But it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He has seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth.
So after Christ was slain, he went back up into the throne. That's why I was saying that. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, which were angels, and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirits, which are angels of God, that is sent out into the, every part of the earth, right? This is why the scripture says that Christ was given the authority, but we see that his enemies are still not made his footstool. Right. So he's sitting on the right hand side of the Heavenly Father of God, which is the Spirit. So and a lot of people don't understand that when it says sitting on the right hand showing you that the Holy Spirit is his right hand. And now he has went back into his essence where he came from. He's sitting on the throne just like he promised King David that he would do. This is a promise that Christ also told his 12 disciples that they would do. That 12 of them would sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Because when it's all said and done, it's only going to be one nation in the end. And that nation is going to be called the sons of God. It is not going to be all of the nations that we have today. It's going back to where it started in the beginning. Israel means the sons or the princes of God, right? And that day, everybody is going to be worshiping the Lord in that day. Everybody is going to be of one mind and of one accord and of one nation, right? If you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and read verse 1 and 2.
Isaiah 2 verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains.
So when it's talking about the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, it means the government of the Lord is going to be above all mountains, above all nations. And this government is going to consist of both Jew and Gentile. This is already taking place right now with the believers of God that's in this earth, that they are being prepped for all of this. And not only the ones that are alive, but the ones that have died in Christ that are in the heavens waiting until, okay, the completion of the body of Christ, right?
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills.
That means above all nations, right? Go ahead.
And all nations shall flow unto it.
Mm-hmm.
And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Right. So God and his government are going to be the beacon in that day. All right. Which is soon to come. That's the 144,000 that the Bible speak of as his government. Right. When the scripture says in Isaiah 9 and 6 that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Right. And all nations shall flow into it. And they're going to become one mind and one accord. Right. They're going to speak all of the same language. They're going to speak of that pure language, which is that Holy Spirit language. Back to that one tongue, all right, which is another analogy of the Lord destroying that one tongue because of the sins of man when he confounded the people that were building the Tower of Babel. Babel, when you look up the word Babel, which means confusion, okay, that's where the world is at today, in confusion. But God, okay, his spirit is in the world as we are reading it, as you see, according to this word being rightly divided, or like the scripture says, making full proof of our ministry, that the spirit of God is back, right? It's back in the world. The truth is back, right? And God is forming his kingdom right up under the nose of the governments of this world and the kings of this world. So go to the book of John 1, 29.
John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Right. So he's fulfilling what the scriptures spoke of him. When you go to the book of Luke 24 and 44.
Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them,
talking about his disciples,
these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled.
Everything must be fulfilled according to that old covenant, the words that were written according to the laws of God. He told Moses, everything you write down, make sure that it's according to the patterns that I gave you in that mountain, right? It had to be according to those patterns because it had to fit the script that Christ was going to come and walk.
Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me.
NLT now.
Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled.
So when he says everything that's written in the law of Moses, everything that's written in the Psalms and the prophets, that's the volume of the book when he says it is written of me. And then go to Hebrews 8 and 5.
Hebrews 8 verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
All right, read it again in the NLT.
They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy.
So that means the things that were written according to the law of Moses was a system and a copy.
They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven.
So in other words, a shadow, right? Like your shadow, when you're walking down the street, the sun is behind you, right? What comes first? The shadow comes before you. And then you, which is the true image, comes behind the shadow, right? Read it one more time, verse 5.
They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven.
A shadow of the true image that was coming, right? Go ahead.
When Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain.
Okay, also go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18, right? And start at 18.
Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee.
This is Moses talking about Christ.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak.
God is giving Moses this instruction and said, if anybody would not hearken unto the words that he speak,
in my name, I will require it of him.
What does he mean, I will require it of him? Read it in the NLT.
I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf.
Right, so that prophet was talking about Jesus Christ. So this is the reason why everything that Moses spoke about was according to the pattern that was given to him by God in that mountain. Because that pattern had to fit, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to come to fulfill all the things that were written of him. So that it would be without a shadow of a doubt. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the next time, amen.
Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. The same as my brother and sister and mother. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him.